This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. As we continue to roll on, have covered quite a few topics in the short period. Show is flying by.
It really is. Already the third hour. That's kind of
I feel like we
crazy.
Got a lot done in the first hour. You should definitely go check out the podcast because we did discuss Kareem Hunt and we also discussed the Murray situation.
Kyler Murray. And, yep.
Because we know that it's not like topic one that everybody wants to speak about. But shout out and props to Kelvin Sampson and the Cougs basketball team at U of H.
Yeah, man.
Another big win against a ranked opponent in Cincinnati on Sunday. Now 23-1, top 10 in the latest polls coming out. That is impressive. That is something that I don't think a lot of people expected to see from U of H ever again after the Phi Slam Majama years and everything like that.
I'm with you.
They're looking like they could be a top 3 seed in the tournament.
Poised to make a run. You need to pull some strings and get Kelvin on the show, man.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I think that we can make that happen.
He's been on the show before.
Yeah. Yes, I've had him on before.
I thought Jerome Solomon's tweet was pretty good. He said, with today's win over Cincy, Cougars basketball moves to 23-1, has won 32 straight home games for Tita Center, best place to watch basketball in Houston.
And you know the other thing about
that? Lying.
No. And you know the other thing about that is the fact that the Cincinnati Twitter account, there was Cincinnati Twitter accounts that were going, ooh, 7,000 in the building. Chief, it doesn't matter how many. Go tell that to Duke. Cameron Indoor seats about $5,000 or less.
Yeah.
And it's the hottest, most sought after ticket and the best crowd in all of college basketball.
Well, they're just dumb. They need to expand that. What's wrong with them? Is it really $5,000?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
You know when the national networks do a game there, they're up on top.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're private, right? That's a private school, so they don't.
Duke.
They don't really care. They got that money anyway.
It's the prestige. It's like going to Lambeau or Soldier Field or the old Boston Garden, Yankee Stadium. They just love the fact that there's a reason why people that's on a bucket list and the lines are out the
Astrodome.
No, but at the same time, yeah, there's a lot, man. That's a big deal to go to Cameron Indoor.
Do we want to? Sure. I saw this AAF went down this weekend. Did y'all watch it?
It's athletic as oh
no what is that?
It's football.
Yeah, it's the new football league.
It's semi pro. No, it's not semi pro. But it's like the new what was it USFL?
It's going to compete with McMahon's deal.
I didn't watch it.
I had no idea.
So I saw I didn't watch the game. Some people were saying it was entertaining. People that need a fix for football now that the NFL's over were watching it. But I know that the big hit that everybody's talking about is there was a hit in one of the games where the quarterback got absolutely blindsided and drilled. His helmet came off. His then head hit the turf on the way down.
Oh, I thought you were going to say his head came off. No, like, yeah, I mean, I'm watching that.
I sent the clip to you guys, but if you look at it, it was a devastating hit. And people are like, that's what I'm talking about. That's what we're missing in the NFL. That's what we want more of. That's what we got to have. That's why you have CTE, and that's why you have guys with careers that are cut short. Now, I'm not saying that the refereeing and everything that we've talked about doesn't need to be tweaked even more, but still, slow your roll on the fact that you want all that old-school violence because of all that has come from it. That's negative.
Yeah, you don't want that in the NFL because you lose all your stars.
Yeah, your quarterbacks. That's how
Deshaun Watson is out for the year. Nobody wants that. Clarence wants to talk AAF. Clarence, what's up, man?
What up, guys? A couple of things make some bullet points.
Okay.
First off, I don't even blame the Browns. I blame the NFL for allowing this to happen. A guy should be gone. At least one full season, especially you have irrefutable evidence of what happened and what he did. He should be going one full season. And while he's out that season, he should be going to counseling and this and that and everything else. Then we'll reevaluate if you could come back in the league, if you're allowed to come back in the league. One full season, not a couple of months right after he did what he did. It's still fresh, and it seems like he hasn't learned anything, and the Browns just don't care. The AAF, they have two rules that I really like. First off, the kickoff rule. It helps the game go faster because in the NFL you have the kickoff, but it's basically useless now since everyone's touching back. You only had like 5 kickoff returns for a touchdown this year versus like in 2009 we had like 15 to 18 of them. And one more thing, Barry.
We didn't watch. So what's the new kickoff rule?
The kickoff, there's no kickoff, period. None.
Okay, so you just started the 25.
Yep.
Okay.
There's no kickoff.
Okay.
They're straight up eliminated. You just start right there, and the game goes faster. They have the split TV time, and I like how they have everyone mic'd up where you can actually hear everything. And I mean everything.
Curse words? Do they play the curse words? Really?
Wow.
I mean, they bleep it. You heard some stuff on there.
Well, I think
and Barry,
it.
Your show, was it was great. Besides, you know, the first 15 minutes while I was drunk and you was talking about lawn care the whole time.
I wasn't talking about no damn lawn care.
Clarence, did you really fall asleep?
Yeah, you did.
You know, I was dozing. I told you I was drunk. The joke
it was
joint,
the lawn care stuff. That's why.
That's exactly right, Nick.
The joke joint had some great bartenders. The drinks were flowing. It was nice and strong. Everyone who went up there was great. Barry, you did a phenomenal job. I can't wait for the next show to come out. It was great, man.
And it was nice to meet Mrs. Clarence, too. That was cool.
I didn't know there was one.
Yeah. Well, appreciate you coming out, Clarence, and thanks for the call. I did look up the rules for AAF while he was talking. Just there won't be kickoffs, no extra points. In overtime, each team gets the ball on the 10 once with the first and goal and has to score and go for two. You can't kick field goals in overtime, and games can end in ties.
Quick question.
Sure.
What do you do when you want an onside kick?
You don't.
I don't like it.
The play clock will be shortened as well.
Yeah, everybody said the greatest thing was the game didn't take as long because of that, and that really was a success. I just think I don't mind inferior. The kickoff thing, but give them a chance to find some way to get the ball back. I don't know what that is, but you take away an onside kick. Just like, and you know what? And that's where I would like to have people
you
have
realize
a running
the
start.
Success rate of the onside kick.
Well, that was
with
this,
the
this season because of the rules changes.
Yeah, right. There's it was pointless. Why
but
even do
it? If they set the rules that way, then yeah, the onside kick is absolutely pointless. But if they set it to where there's an opportunity for the team to get, you know, recover the onside kick,
that's right.
It might be
at.
Different.
It
might
I like be, that. I like giving a team a chance.
Do a scrum.
Otherwise,
set the ball on the 50 like the
XFL. I'm saying, come up with something.
Sprint. Whoever can throw the ball the furthest.
You know, put your five guys on each side of the field and have a punt or a kick in the middle of the field, and everybody's got to run down, and whoever ends up with the football, you get the ball back. Just do something so that a team is, like, completely not closed out if they score and they're down 9.
Guess what? Don't get down 9.
Oh, boy.
And you know what? Look, at the end of the day, this
may... You play to win...
Thanks, right. Herm.
Sorry, Nick, I'm sorry. I cut you off.
You play to win the game.
There you go.
But at the same time, maybe this is a guinea pig year. Obviously, this is their first season. Maybe they do include some sort of onside option next season if they feel like it's necessary. But if the game is moving fast enough and there's other things, like that mic'd up thing, I didn't know that. So this is obviously on some sort of online platform because there's no way they're censoring this on the fly unless they're, like... recording it and then playing it later.
Well, they
TV.
Could probably have it on like a big time delay.
And you and just, censor and on they, a delay? That's
yeah,
to me,
that's
absolutely crazy.
How they have to do it. You have to have just like we do, but probably even
they're
a little bit more than that.
All the time,
yeah, but you never listen to like NBA broadcasts. And,
but they're selective about that.
But they don't beep it. They just mute it for like right before and
right
after.
Right, but
they're
given that
to
opportunity. They're given the time to do that, though.
That's what I'm saying. So that same delay that the NBA is on in the broadcast... Probably you have the NFL on, or not the NFL, the AAF.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? So then if you
so
do
it's
pick
not right
up
away,
something. No, it's probably delayed by 15 seconds. That way you can mark
see, that's,
all right,
that's my
5
point.
Seconds. You know,
I don't know if 15
it.
Seconds is enough. I
oh,
got to
yeah,
watch the
is.
Broadcast.
For these audio guys these days, it really is.
And you probably have 2 or 3 guys doing it. One is the counter. So when you hear it, you mark it. All right, it's 5 seconds. You go in, you mute. Yeah.
I wouldn't have dumped anything. I would have just let that thing fly.
Watch the next time you're watching an NBA game on national TV or even the NFL on national TV. The game, the tape still rolls. They just drop the audio out, and you know that's exactly why.
Yeah. And to his point about the NFL, I actually agree with him about the NFL point. I think the NFL should have more responsibility. At one point, there was like an automatic 6-month suspension for the first timer.
Yeah, he was spot on.
And then 1 year for the second. And I don't know what happened to that. It went away. But I agree with him on the NFL part.
I thought it was a great point. Sorry.
I completely agree with you,
like
too.
Saying, hey, you can't come back until you've gone through some programs. That's great because it was like the point I was making before we went to break. It's fine that, oh, he's going to seek treatment. So, well, he hasn't yet.
It says he's undergoing. So we'll see what that means, too.
Travis, real quick, wanted to talk about the onside kick.
Clear that up
AAF.
For us, Travis, real quick. We're getting ready to go to a break, but clear it up quickly.
Travis, what's up?
Yeah, hey, no, I'm not exactly I'm not exactly sure 100% the rule, but I did read somewhere there was like you can go for a 4th and 12, and if you get that, you'll be able to convert the ball. They'll make that. So I'm not sure if that's, you know, instead of the onside kick, they'll do that. They'll give you a chance, but there's something with a 4th and 12. You have to look that into it. You can go for that, and you can get a first down again. Just, I don't know where that came from, but there may be something, other rule that implements that where you can actually get the ball back.
Was this you that texted that as well, Travis? Did you text that to the show?
No, I didn't. I haven't texted that.
Okay, I like that.
Appreciate the call,
Travis,
man.
Travis, thanks. I like that. Like I said, just give me something that gives the chance.
So somebody texted and said, onside kick is a 4th and 12 from their own 28.
I like it. Give them a chance. Never say never and give them a chance. So then there's still suspense at the end of the game.
Yeah.
There you have it. We're going to continue to roll on. We still are in the final hour of the show, but there's still time for you to join. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, 713-780-3776. HRP listener line. You can call that number. You can text that number. Or you can reach us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you missed anything along the way, we have the breaking news of the day. Two things out of the NFL. Kareem Hunt signed by the Cleveland Browns. Obviously, still the league has to rule on when they reinstate him with that. So that was something that took up some time. We were talking AFL after that. Kyler Murray has decided to be 100% playing football. And the Rockets, of course, playing the Mavericks tonight before they head out on the road to take on the Timberwolves. I was going to throw out to you guys, if you had your pick... I did an article last night on SportsMap. Now that they got their wing, the Rockets are looking... We talked about probably at least exploring kicking the tires on a big. So there's five guys that are out there now. Almost all the buyouts have happened, so there's guys available. Markieff Morris, Robin Lopez, DeAndre Jordan hasn't been bought out yet, but there's talks, even though he's played fairly well for the Knicks. Marcin Gortat from the Clippers is another one. Anyone like striking a fancy where you go, you know what? I wouldn't mind that guy.
My answer hasn't changed from last week. DeAndre Jordan. I mean, I think he fits perfectly. I don't know if he would come here. I don't know that he would look to be a backup for anybody, but
I'm not a fan of Lopez.
If I had my choice on that list, I'm going DeAndre Jordan.
And Daryl's already
because he fits how Capella plays.
What was the list again? Brooke Lopez.
And they can play the pick and roll.
No, Robin Lopez is one of them. DeAndre Jordan, 2. Markieff Morris, 3, although they said he might have a neck issue, but he's out there. Marcin Gortat from the Clippers. And I'm trying to see if I missed anybody. Oh, and Kanter, Enes Kanter.
I'm not mad at Gortat, but I'm not mad at DeAndre Jordan either. I do not want Lopez at all.
Okay.
But I would probably say DeAndre Jordan.
Are you guys good? Because the other thing, I have talked to some people and said they're still trying to work something out with Daniel House. But are you guys good with this as your second unit and this is your team going into the playoffs?
I mean, I think this is the best as you can do, right, at this point. I don't think it's the team that's going to beat the Golden State Warriors. You can probably, I mean, if Morey can make magic happen and make some additions to this team that can compete against them, that's fantastic. But I think this is, how much better can you get with the trade deadline expiring and the fact that, you know, the second half of the NBA season is upon us?
It's a roll of the dice at this point because you're hoping to get lucky. You're hoping some team buys out a guy that's a quality player that they're just not going to play or don't want to play because they want to try young talent.
I'm not good. I think I said last week when we talked about it, they need to add another rebounder to the team. If as constructed, I mean, they're not getting out of the West no matter what, even if they do find another, you know, wing defender that can rebound in the buyout market. But I would like to see them try to get better and get a rebounder before they call it quits. Whether they can or not, I don't know. I think DeAndre Jordan is a good add. There's some other names on that list that I think would be a good add.
I think,
but
the main
I think as is, nah, I wouldn't be good with it.
The main thing that I would say that you and I talked about is you don't need any more offense. You just need someone that can put a body on somebody in short stints because you don't know what you're going to get out of Nene. And you don't know if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, I mean,
you're going to face either look at last year, Karl Anthony Towns, Rudy Gobert, and now the Warriors have DeMarcus Cousins. You got to have at least one guy. Capella's kind of slight of frame anyway. You got to have a guy that can play defense.
Nene played 17 minutes against the Thunder. He's done for February. Yeah. That's his max. I mean, I say that tongue in cheek, but yeah, you need some help once you get Capella back.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll see how that goes. Rockets and Mavs tonight. Rockets 0-2 against the Mavs this season, but every win important now is the Thunder really established themselves as head and shoulders above the Rockets with that win Saturday night.
You think so?
I think they did. I really do. I don't know that I'm willing to say. Are you guys willing to say that they're the number two team in the West?
Well, that was what they showed on. I don't know. I mean, I don't think so.
No, the Thunder.
No, the Thunder. I don't think so.
If Paul George continues to put the points that he's doing, and maybe you can make the... A lot of people are not talking about the Thunder. A lot of people have been saying that's been a team that hasn't gotten enough credit, but I think they have. I don't know if I'm ready to say they're the second-best team in the West.
I think they are talent-wise right now because Utah hasn't put it together, and I don't see anybody else that really impresses me. Denver's got a lot of good pieces, but they don't have the superstar talent guys.
That's why I think that impresses me at some point.
Yeah, but I think that overall, when I look at it, is it possible a guy's going to be an MVP candidate and also be the guy that screws it all up for the Thunder? Westbrook just can't shoot anymore. I don't know. I say he never was a great shooter. He was a scorer, but boy, now he's struggling from the free throw line.
So you're agreeing with Kurt Lowe is what you're saying?
No, and I don't want to do that for that very reason. I mean, he's a hell of a player. But a lot of what we said about Harden is he's going to be the MVP of the regular season. He's putting up great numbers, but the playoffs are a different story. It's possible that Westbrook could really hurt them in the playoffs because he doesn't make free throws. He's struggling with his shot.
That's not good.
And nobody on this team can defend him either.
Well, they showed that.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully it's just a stretch and it's not a situation where, well, now that he has someone like Paul George on the team, he's not getting the same amount of shots, and so he's not making as much, making as many. I'm going to assume, considering his greatness, that this is just a really bad stretch for Russell Westbrook.
That stretch has been elongated. I mean, it's almost the whole season.
Yeah, and that's true. But when you consider what he's done in the past, you got to wonder.
I mean, George is the best player on that team. In my opinion, the way he's playing right now.
I mean, like, is the Thunder the second best team in the West? I think it's 2A and 2B with the Nuggets and the Thunder because the Nuggets just got off an 8-1 run and now they've lost 3 in a row. And basketball is a game of spurts. And the season, you know, Thunder right now are 9-1, but they haven't always been on a 9-1 run. They've lost 19 games, so they're susceptible at times, obviously. They seem to be getting better. They seem to be clicking, and it seems like they're better than they were at the beginning of the year. I could see them finishing second in the West, though, but I think the Nuggets have to – they'll probably figure it out. I mean, they've surprised a lot of people. They didn't surprise you, but they surprised a lot of people. But if you don't say it's the Thunder – or the Nuggets, who else is it?
Blazers.
Utah. Right?
Yeah, I mean, do you really believe the Blazers could be the second best?
I just think from a standing standpoint, they're obviously not the second best, but I just really believe in a pretty bad demise of the Nuggets. I really believe they'll fall down.
You think so?
To like 6-7, like where Joel had them. I mean, he thought they were going to be a good team, but he did also have them at the number 7 seed in the West. And so I think that demise is probably accurate I think that if that demise happens in the second half of the season.
I think when you see the rise of a franchise in the NBA, it doesn't happen overnight. And I think that this is the progression, that they'll be a playoff team, that they'll, you know, a lot of these young guys will get their feet wet and experience some of this. But you got to have a go-to or two come playoff time. And if teams go and try and take away the Joker and take away their big man that they go to for everything,
yeah,
what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's one of those things where even like in the East, when you see teams like the Pacers who are still, they've won five in a row, even without Oladipo. And those are the teams that and the Nuggets you look at and go, oh, I just don't know if I believe that they have what it takes to beat the upper echelon and do it all year. I mean, yeah, you can win five in a row or go 8-1 here and there, but can they maintain that through the rest of the season?
I think the best team the Warriors may face is going to be in the Eastern Conference. We talked about which teams have a chance to beat the Warriors. That might be the only teams that have a chance to beat the Warriors. Is every team in the East
over there?
Yeah, all four right now. I would say when you look at Vegas and the odds, all four are right there as the four best contenders to give the Warriors a battle.
If I made you drop one from that list and go three, who are you dropping?
The Bucks, obviously. They're the number one team in the East right now.
I was just going to say they're the number one team, and they're
playing awesome.
They're the team that I believe in the least of the team. No, you know what? I'll take that back because I forgot the one team. I think Boston right now, unless they get it straight in the locker room and from the coaches or whatever it takes to get them in the right direction, there's a team with more talent than almost any team in the East that is playing horrible basketball.
Yeah. They are right now, and this is just a feeling. It's not anything more than that, but I feel like that's one of those teams where by the end of the year, you look up and go, wow, where'd this come from? They're playing great ball because they have the talent. They have the roster. It's just a matter of putting it all together. So I'm with you, Nick, in that I'd probably just the Bucks because it's the Greek Freak and – versus all the other three teams,
I mean,
loaded. Sixers, Raptors, and Celtics, loaded.
Did you see Doris Burke say that the Sixers have the best starting lineup in basketball?
What?
Does Golden State not play anymore?
I was going to say, does she not watch Western Conference basketball?
Yeah, honestly thinks that. I'm with you guys on the Bucks. I believe that Chris Middleton's an all-star, but come playoff time, it's a different story.
And Bledsoe, not that he's not a success. I think if he plays... I think they expected him to play a little bit better, and I think if he has done a little bit better, I think that team would have been a lot scarier, too.
Well, he can shoot you in. He can shoot you out.
Yep.
Yeah, he can have a bad night. So, okay, we'll continue to roll on. You guys know Thursday's Valentine's Day.
It is.
So we've got to be prepared for that as guys, and you got to do your part. If you want the benefits the entire year and maybe a little extra for Valentine's Day, well, you got to step up to the plate, fellas. And I've got the perfect thing to get you in the right good graces of your significant other. It's called RoseExpress.com. Right now, they're offering 25 roses for $39. And if you want to go big time and go 50 roses, it's just an extra $30. So 50 roses for $69. Or you want to keep going, 75 roses for $99, 100 roses for $129. I'm telling you, they can still accommodate you for Valentine's Day, and it's the place where you set the delivery date. You tell them that you want those delivered on Valentine's Day, they're there. Maybe the night before, maybe the night after, maybe in the morning. They'll take care of you. It's your choice. It's easy, and you can place your order right now in just minutes and be done with it.
Yeah, why would you mess around? Just pull over. If you're driving right now, pull over to the side of the road, pull out the cell phone, go to roseexpress.com. 2 to 4 minutes, you're done. You've gotten it taken care of. The wife's going to be happy. And, you know, you don't want to have to be confused with a bunch of options. This is easy. It's quick. And if you buy extra, I mean, if you take advantage of the 100 roses for $129, which is a ridiculously good deal, and you got roses left over, sell them. Give them to a buddy. I mentioned earlier, you got a side piece, maybe throw her a couple roses. But you're going to get a great deal. You can add a bear or a personal message to your order if you want to do that. And challenge. I mean, check it out. See, call another flower shop and see how much 50 roses is going to cost you. It's not the same, and it's not going to be as good of a deal as you're going to get from roseexpress.com. And not only that, is it a good deal, it's quality roses, and they're beautiful, and you're getting wholesale prices. Get on it, man. Roseexpress.com. That's roseexpress.com. Well, you're running out of time. It takes 2 to 4 minutes, man. Make her happy this year. Roseexpress.com.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Look, I know you guys out there, you're trying to get sexy for Valentine's. You're trying to win this Usual Suspects weight loss challenge. And that challenge is also brought to you by Vortex. And if you're not out there working out at Vortex, I don't know what you're doing with yourself, but you probably don't have an advantage on your other contestants and participants in the weight loss challenge. So get out there. They've got rumble classes. They've got ride classes. And those workouts, by far, some of the most fun I've had at the gym and some of the best workouts that I get when I'm at Vortex. It is no BS. You go in there, 45 minutes, you work out. You work out hard. Like what I do a lot of the boxing classes, and Trey, one of their athletes there, Vortex, he doesn't let you off the hook, man. They hold you accountable, but you know, not to the point where you're like, you know, feel like you're you can't get anything done or get a rest, but they keep you motivated. They keep you in it. They keep you going. And I need that because I'm ready to quit in a heartbeat. But Trey doesn't let me. The athletes there won't let you. You're going to do these workouts, 45 minutes. You're done. You're burning a ton of calories when you're doing it. And they've got a great deal going right now. $40 for unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week. Why aren't you taking advantage of that? Like $40, you get unlimited classes for an entire week in a luxurious but affordable gym that's got everything. They've thought of everything. The locker rooms are amazing. I tell you all the time about the USB ports in every locker. You charge your phone or whatever it is you need. They've got the refuel bar at the end so you can get a smoothie on the way out the door. And they've got morning and afternoon classes, so there's really no reason not to get out there. 48 bikes in the bike room. They've got tons of heavy bags. Always a spot for you, and easy to get online at vortextexas.com and get a class scheduled and sign up for that $40 unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week. 281-501-3094 is the number. 281-501-3094. It's just easier. Go to vortextexas.com. That's vortextexas.com. And when you go in, tell them Barry sent you.
There you go. So we got about 30 minutes to go on the show before we turn it over to the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on a Monday. Covered the gamut. Really covered a lot of ground today. I was interested. This happened over the weekend, or it happened a while back, and it kind of came out on awful announcing over the weekend. And I was curious how you guys would handle all this. Jim Gray, the guy that we all know as the man who hosted the decision for LeBron, and he's been all over the place doing boxing and other things as well. He did the radio road tour at Super Bowl, and he joined the guys from Boston. And instead of talking about the game and everything else, they obviously, like we talked about, would like to get different subjects that they're not always talking about. They asked him about the fact that when Oprah did an interview with Tom Brady, and they showed pictures of Giselle standing off to the side, Jim Gray was right behind Giselle. And the guys from the radio show in Boston kept hammering the fact that they wanted to know, why were you there? What were you doing? And he kept trying to like downplay it. And the more that he wouldn't answer the way he wanted, the more the guys on the radio in Boston got pretty ticked off.
I live in Los Angeles.
Okay, and that's where you guys were having dinner?
Well, right by there, yes.
You seem to be very secretive about this.
Well, why would my dinner plans be of any interest to anybody?
No.
I'm trying to answer the question, so I was invited Oprah to dinner, so I went to dinner.
But it was because you...
Because Oprah's famous, and Tom Brady was filming something, and you happened to be there. That doesn't...
Right.
They're two very famous people, and then there's Jim Gray.
Well, I know Tom.
Right.
Oprah knows Tom. Stedman knows Tom. Oprah knows my wife. We're all friends. So why not have a dinner? So that's what that was.
Okay. So you got there really early for dinner then.
Perhaps they ran late.
Well, it was the beginning of... it's very secretive.
No, I mean, I don't know what you're trying... Get to the end point. I mean,
all right,
what are you trying to figure out?
Don't worry about it.
You
don't want to be here. All right.
We'll have the headline.
Real quick. Are the questions when you...
That's what you wanted?
No, you just won't answer any questions. It's boring. I mean, you're being defensive and looking at me weird.
That's a stupid question.
But real quick.
All right, then I don't want to ask.
Stupid question.
Okay, it's a stupid question.
What were you doing, having dinner with somebody?
No, we didn't know you were having dinner.
I just told you.
He got so mad right after that, he just cut him off. He said, the interview's over. I'm done. He threw his headset down. He goes, interview's over. Forget it. And Jim Gray was like, what? And I'm like, would you do that?
Would I do what?
Would you just stop it in the middle of a segment?
If I was Jim Gray?
No, if you were the if you were a radio host.
No. No, I would be more professional than that.
I kind of give him props for it because he did it against a big name like Jim Gray. And I know to a certain extent Jim Gray may have – that might have been his 76th interview. And he might have just been tired of all the interviews. But the fact that he wasn't giving him anything and he wasn't really asking a super controversial question, I don't see why, you know, like he was looking at him because I got the audio from a video clip and you can tell he's like, why are you asking me these questions? And that's the worst feeling you want if you're a radio host on Radio Row. You want the guy to actually feel like he wants to do the interview and he wants to be there. Jim Gray didn't look like he wanted to be there.
Because of the question or just in general?
Just in general, I felt like he didn't want to be there. I think before that question, he did not want to be there. That was my opinion. That's what I got. When you look at the body language, he didn't even want to be there. He didn't even want to do the... And he's asking him a question that's so simple, and he's being very short about it. That's the worst thing you can have.
That's what I'm saying. It turned into like a pissing match for no reason.
But like, I do agree with you guys would do that, because when we were on Radio Row, there was a couple of guests that didn't give you...
They got short with us.
And you guys didn't treat them bad or in the interview or anything like that.
That was my biggest takeaway, too, was the fact that I don't care how big a station you're on and how big your show is, you still act with common courtesy because you may cross paths with this guy again. And the thing is, you tried. You tried to get him to respond to it, and you tried more than once. But at a certain point, cut your losses, go to something else. Let Jim Gray talk about the game.
Yeah, I would agree with that, too.
Yeah, it just seemed like both sides were trying to prove a point, and both points were pretty stupid. Like, oh, no, we're going to keep hammering you about being at this dinner. It's just dinner. You asked him, what are you there for? And he's like, I was just having dinner. Move on. Like, why? What are you? And I'm talking about the radio guys. What are you fishing for?
Yeah.
It's a stupid fishing expedition. What did you do? Is he banging Oprah? That's what. If you want to make it interesting, then say that. Are you banging Oprah?
Well, but the thing that we would talk about, like the three of us would say, look, we're looking for an icebreaker to get that comfort level with someone to loosen up and say, oh, these guys aren't going to be like everybody else and have us just break down the Super Bowl and talk about whoever's sponsoring us. We would dig into their, you know, look at their Wikipedia and otherwise and find something interesting, Google them, and find something to break the ice. But once you try to break the ice, if it's not broken by the second question, move on.
Yeah, and the same thing with Jim Gray. He should have just been like, look, guys, you know, and he tried to, but he could have just been like, yeah, no, I'm not, I just told you it was dinner and that's it. So I don't know. It just seemed like they were all button heads, and I didn't see the video, so I don't know about body language, but I could see that being the case.
I mean, the radio guy literally took his headset off and just threw it down. I'm done.
Which is silly. You didn't get your way, so you're going to pout now? Jim Gray was been around the block a million times, professional enough just to be like, no, I'm not giving you that. You guys are fishing, so that's silly.
All right. We got one segment to go before we wrap up the big show. We appreciate you guys taking us along for the ride. The Blitz will be up next at 4. They'll take you home till 7. Before we hit the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. Josh Pestikoff and his staff have done a fantastic job because they're locally owned and operated. How do I know? Because I signed up with them, and you can too. And the one thing you're going to notice when you call 844-INFUSE2, that's 844-463-8732, you're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. And they're going to ask you questions just like you're asking them because they want to make sure they tailor make a plan for you and it has the best rate and the best deal possible, whether it be for a business or for your family. You mentioned ESPN 97.5 and right off the top, you get a $25 bill credit and they go from there. Don't believe me? You can investigate. InfuseEnergy.com is where you can find all the information. But when you're done looking around and you're trying to find the best energy company for you, you want someone that's going to be honest and they're going to give you all the facts up front and their rates. And if they can't beat the competition, they're going to let you know that too. Because whether you go with them now or you go with them down the road, you really want someone you can trust. That's the way business is done. So if you want all those things and they're interesting to you and they want the other characteristics and variables you have to have, then I'm telling you, Infuse Energy is the place to be. They've saved me thousands off my bill in the last 2 years when I made the switch, and you can do the same thing. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse Energy into your life.
ESPN 97.5.
Wavy Boy Productions. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back to wrap things up on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, it's Joel. It's a Monday fun day on the show. Blitz will take it over from us at 4, take you home till 7. I don't know if you guys saw this or not. ESPN did a deal for all 32 teams in the NFL and decided to have one bold prediction from each team. And we had kind of touched on the fact that the ESPN guys thought that Le'Veon Bell would sign with the Texans. And now, ironically or not, there's another team in the mix. Now they're saying that the Packers are also a team that their bold prediction was to sign Le'Veon Bell. It could be a bidding war. I just think all along that, you know, I don't want the Texans to spend too much money, but if the Texans can get Le'Veon Bell, they are just so much better. And your point was spot on, Barry, the fact that they still have to improve the line, and I still think they can do that. But boy, I'll tell you what, giving Deshaun Watson a security blanket and a balance, you know, a guy that gives you balance in the offense like Le'Veon Bell, I just think would be a huge add for this team.
Yeah, no doubt. It certainly does make a difference. But what's weird about the article is that they have multiple, you know, because it's the bold offseason prediction for all 32 teams. But some of the predictions, like, you can't have two teams getting the same player.
Right.
And part of it is they have, like, I think the Dolphins and somebody else both getting the kid out of Ohio State, Haskins. Like, the Jags. I think it's the Jags and Dolphins, and one of them moves up. And it's like, yeah, you both can't draft the guy. So my first criticism of the article would be, you can't have two people getting the same player in your bold prediction. And I realized, like, Mike Wells wrote the one for the Texans, which is a different writer than Rob Domofsky, who wrote for the Packers.
Right.
But damn, one of the editors could look at it and be like, well, okay, you guys are going to have to pick, you know, what's your second option?
And worth a note that Sarah Barshop would be doing that, but she's on maternity leave.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, what they did was, is they got the opinions of every beat writer for every team. But then as an editor, you got to say, okay, well, where we have repeat predictions,
yeah,
something's got to give.
Who do you think is more likely to land him of the two, the Packers or the Texans? I know you're conflicted on this.
I'm not, but if I'm the Packers, I've got bigger fish to fry in terms of needs than Le'Veon Bell, and I've got Aaron Jones, and I've got some other options at running back that I really like. I just don't know, depending on the price tag, that the Packers want to put all that money in one basket. I think the Texans. I was going to say, can I throw out the Jets? Because I think the Jets are going to be in there, too.
Here's the thing, though, man. If you're the Texans with no offensive line, Lamar Miller was 11th in the league in rushing with 973 yards. With a line that for half the season was good and the other half wasn't. How big of a jump are you getting with Le'Veon Bell into that? I mean, is he gonna finish the season top five behind that offensive line? Do you think he finishes
that offensive line? No, but do I think that then depends on the timing of when they would get, if it would happen, right? If they were going to get him, if they got him before the draft, I think that just changes your entire draft philosophy to be, we are loading up on offensive linemen in the first couple of rounds. And then you hope that you get at least one Quentin Nelson where a rookie can come in and really contribute on the line.
Yeah, there was some talking, I don't know if it was that article or another one, about the Chiefs getting rid of their center. I forget what his name was, but there's going to be some options at offensive line as well. And a part of me says, yes, obviously, Le'Veon Bell is a damn good running back, one of the best in football right now. Why wouldn't you do that? But then the other part of me is conflicted and saying, yeah, but if you could go get the Chiefs offensive lineman and the Phillies let a guy go, the Eagles let a guy go, and the Raiders let a guy go, and you draft a couple of guys with your first, or a guy with your first round pick, you've completely remade that offensive line with guys way better than anything you had. And if Lamar Miller can finish 11th, maybe he can finish 7th or 8th, and now, along with that, you've got a better line to protect Deshaun Watson at the same time and take advantage of your weapons that you already have in the passing game.
And I hear what you're saying, but the only thing that I want to throw into the mix in terms of from a financial standpoint, if you're going to go that route, you've just decided you're going to go get Le'Veon Bell, if you're going to cut or move Lamar Miller, then you get all of his salary to use to whether it is to get the guys you're talking about from Kansas City and Oakland and otherwise, or to supplement what you're going to pay Le'Veon Bell. And you got to believe Bell is an upgrade over Miller.
Mm-hmm.
So,
no doubt.
Miller's making what? 10, 11?
I don't know. I have to look it up. I don't know.
But I think he's definitely in double figures in terms of the millions, to where Le'Veon's looking at 14.
5 million.
Oh, really?
Yeah, next year he's getting 5.5 million. That's what I talk about value, man.
Yeah.
A guy that's 11th in the league in rushing, making 5 million. You spend all the money you would spend on those other guys to bolster the offensive line
money.
With your 60 million in cap space.
Yeah, you got to find different ways to recruit 27 money.
27 years old, Lamar Miller's not even that old yet.
You're talking about other guys that you might have to watch walk, and then maybe that impacts what you do with Clowney, you know, and Jonathan Joseph, and guys, you know, either maybe not worth the big-time money when we talk about Clowney, or maybe still making a lot of money that are on the downside of where they were when they signed the contract, and do you have to make some tough decisions in order to try and...
That's why I say I'm conflicted, because half of me could sees the value in Le'Veon Bell. There's no doubt about that. But the other half of me sees the value in what Lamar Miller could do behind a beefed up offensive line. And the second part of that being what Deshaun Watson could do behind that same beefed up offense. So it's a benefit to your running game and your passing game to focus the money on the line.
I mean, don't you feel too, you see the prediction, Saints-Texans Super Bowl. Something big's got to happen. And maybe, do you think that just bolstering the offensive line is enough to say that I believe in this Texans team as being able to overcome the Chiefs and the Pats and win the AFC?
There's going
to
be other names out there, too, though. I mean, I think Ingram is a free agent.
But Mark Ingram to Le'Veon Bell, that's a huge difference.
Sure it is. But you could still get better. You can still add depth if Mark Ingram comes in and he's your thunder to Lamar Miller's lightning. And, you know, Lamar Miller's decent out of the backfield as a third down back. And, you know, Ingram coming in on first down or, you know, short yardage situation. Latavius Murray's an option. Marshawn Lynch is out there. There's some guys out there that I think you could add for depth at the position. And still be able to upgrade that line. And I don't know, man.
So you're saying the option is target the running back for depth behind Lamar Miller and spend more money on offensive line. Mm-hmm. That's fair enough. I mean, look, and the other thing is the Jets, like we said, there's going to be other teams involved in it. Just because of these predictions, it's not going to be a two-team race.
No. There's going to be plenty of people throwing money at Le'Veon Bell.
And if you talk about a team that has all the money and the draw from an agent's perspective of the endorsements, New York's going to get involved in this. And if the Jets get involved in this and want a franchise running back, they're going to overspend.
Yeah.
Because you got to go to a team that has had the reputation of sucking.
Well, and I mean, don't sleep on Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers wanting a quality running back in the backfield. They may want to overspend too.
But they need so much help on defense.
Yeah.
You know, the difference in the Texans is they don't need help on the offensive line as much, but their defense is just awful. And so they're going to have to spend if they're going to get better on defense, and that's going to cost the majority of whatever money they have.
Yeah.
So you got to get, you know, you got to give to get. You'd have to cut some guys there too in order to. Randall Cobb and other guys are going to be casualties. Clay Matthews Jr.
How much cap space does the Packers have?
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I know that they're talking about cutting Cobb at 11 a year, Matthews at a pretty substantial number, unless they want to take less money to come back. They're just going to set them free and use a lot trying to gain as much money as they can.
Damn, I'm looking at Packers are 14th with cap space of 34 mil. Texans checking at 7th with 62 million.
Yeah, it's big.
Number 1, Colts with 107 million in cap space.
And they're that good. There's the other team. Throw them in the mix.
Crazy.
What if you want Le'Veon Bell to be the big difference maker and another weapon on offense for the Colts, and you already have that offensive line, and you went that far, and you have Andrew Luck?
Well, and to your point, the Jets are second with 95 mil, so they're going to be bitters.
Yeah, I think those two teams don't have to cut.
I just don't see. If you're Le'Veon Bell, you going to the Jets?
Hell no. It just depends if you want the attention and the media and the, you know,
if I can get the money from the Colts and go play with Andrew Luck, sign me up. I'd rather do that than
indoors
go play
on turf.
In that division. I'd rather do that than go play the Jets, go be the Jets playing in the
New England.
Yeah.
I get you. All right, hey, good show on a Monday, and we're going to be back again to do it all over again tomorrow. Hopefully you will be too, as we take you through the rest of the week. So when you get a chance, join us 1 to 4 p.m. daily right here on The Usual Suspects. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is next.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy. I hear that. You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.